1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/audio. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/audio.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Taoiseach Simon Harris has announced when he finally hopes to call the election. Have a listen.
Most important thing I would imagine before one knocks on a door and asks for a vote is to make sure you've passed the USC cut that'll benefit that household behind the door, that you've changed the inheritance tax rates, that you've changed the rule about how much you can earn before paying the higher rate of tax. So for me, this is about the business of government and bringing it to an orderly conclusion. So the finance bill and the timing of that is a prerequisite to me in my decision as to when to seek a dissolution from the president. We're not long away now. I intend to move swiftly. Obviously, once the finance bill passes, I believe that to be an important moment. There will be an election very shortly. I think you can sense it right across the country that people are beginning to engage, political parties and independent candidates are out engaging as well. And we'll have this election very shortly, because I think now will be the right time. The coalition government has delivered 5 budgets, and we should end, I suppose, the speculation and seek a mandate. And I'm looking forward to having a chance to put my case to the people. I've had the honour of doing this job for 7 months. I'd like to continue to do it, and I'd like to do it fresh off a mandate to deliver on some big ideas.
So yes, the finance bill is finally due to pass this day week, and then it's all bets are off. There are going to be a few changes though in this election. It's going to be down to who can vote, where you can vote. There's boundary changes that we need to look at. There's also gender quotas in this election, which we haven't had before. And joining me now to go through all of this is Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, lecturer in constitutional law at Southeast Technological University. Jennifer, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, Simon Harris mentioned there in that clip, Jennifer, he's only in the job 7 months. Before we get into all the changes that are going to happen in the election, what's got to happen between now and next week to finally get this election called?
Yeah, so they have to clear the slate of what's there in the legislation. So their main priority is the budget. Because Simon Harris is quite right to say that you can't be knocking on doors saying, oh, here's all the goodies that we're going to give you, and not actually have the law in place for that to happen. But there's other things that are being brushed to the sides. For example, the mental health legislation, other legislation on, say, defamation reform. That's not going to happen now. Mm. There is movement on that Occupied Territories Bill, which will be a serious thing for a lot of people when they are being faced with politicians, because it's something that Irish people have a lot of empathy for.
You might just explain why that is important to a lot of people now in a way that it wouldn't have been important, say, when it first started off. I think it was with Breed Smith, was it?
Yes, yeah. It started years ago.
Or Francis Black, yeah.
Yes, obviously with what's happening at the moment. And of course, Irish people are in the middle of this because there's Irish troops in Lebanon at the moment. Ireland has always been very empathetic, but what has happened and the reaction from Israel has shifted the narrative for an awful lot of people when they're looking at the proportionality of these issues. So, for example, the boycott, sanction and divest movement would have always been well known of in Ireland, but people are now looking at what they can do in a very small way to see what sort of pressure can be put onto this situation.
Mm. So a lot of the tidying up then involves what is promised in the budget and then the other bits and pieces with that piece of legislation. There was other bills as well that Micheál Martin wanted to get through. That's all done. Mm-hmm. Right. We're going into the election 2024 now. What has changed in terms of seat numbers from the last time?
So we're going from 160 TDs to 174. And the word from the Electoral Commission is that the rate of population increase at the moment means we're going up around 3 TDs, I think they said, every year, which is a lot. That is all directly related to the Constitution, because the rule that's there in Article 16 says you have to have one TD for every 30,000 in the population. That might be something we might want to look at down the road. But we're also increasing in constituencies, because we're going from 39 constituencies to 43. There's only about 7 constituencies that haven't had any change. But definitely if you're in, say, for example, the new Wicklow-Wexford constituency, Offaly is going to its own constituency, Fingal is being split. There's a lot of movement going on down in Cork.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say to anyone in Cork, double check the maps and the Electoral Commission so you are absolutely certain of where you're voting.
Because I think it is important to understand, you know, sometimes you hear glib comments and we're getting 14 more TDs. It's all just getting bigger. Like, it's about our own population. It's about having proper and adequate representation. But when it comes back then and we're into the horse trading of who gets into power, how does that dynamic change things in your view?
Yeah. So if you look at the opinion polls, they are extremely diverse. If you add up, say, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they're not hitting 50% at all. So you're going to be looking at, firstly, with Sinn Féin, do they actually get their sums correct? Because Goldilocks needs to start advising Sinn Féin because they are just not getting it right.
Mm.
Because the opinion polls do swing an awful lot. They left a lot of seats on the table in the last general election. So if you look at any of the constituencies, you'd see the quota line and there was nearly another double amount there for them. So if they do that right, that will hoover up a lot of the seats for the smaller parties.
Mm.
So every single time we've had a government being formed, it's taking longer and longer. Now, obviously, the previous government was an outlier because of COVID. They didn't even know how many people they could have in the room. But it's taking that bit longer to trash it out because they will all be going on their manifestos, as in, if I get to be the single party government, this is what I want to do.
Mm.
But by the time you get to forming the government, you have to have the horse trading on what goes into that programme for government.
And that magic number to feel secure in government also changes because you've gone up by 14 seats.
Absolutely.
So the configuration,
exactly,
as it is now, could be completely different in terms of just Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are not enough.
Exactly. And when it comes to not enough, they have the other issue then as well with the gender quotas. They're going from 30% to 40%.
Yeah.
And we do see that there is a lot of vitriol against politicians, particularly female politicians. So the thing with the gender quotas to bear in mind is it's not every constituency has to be balanced. It's on the national basis.
But a party's national basis, is
exactly,
it?
Exactly, because it doesn't apply to independents.
So, okay, that is an interesting one. So presumably, and I'll just be a little bit cynical about this, big parties would have no problem sticking a woman on the ticket and saying, she's got no hope, but I'm going to meet my quota and I'm not going to get any financial penalty.
Correct. And that is a valid criticism of the way it's run because you can put in a no-hoper just to tick the box. The whole idea is it's to generally lift up women's representation in politics, which is something we have more work to do on. But once it goes onto the national basis, you can see a kind of a dynamic happening where they'll put a woman into a certain part of the constituency where they know they're never really going to get any votes,
mm,
but have them in there to suck up the transfers, mm, for the other person, because they actually say the biggest competition is within the parties themselves.
Absolutely. Yes. And we've seen that, like, with a lot of the parties struggling at the convention. But just before I leave that part, because I do think it's important to people understand, what if you're an independent, right, and you, mm-hmm, don't have a political party? How do you get on the ticket? What do you have to qualify for? Like, what is the mechanism?
Yeah. So there's two different mechanisms. First, you can pay a deposit of €500. And the other way then is you get, I believe it's about between 30 or 50, numbers just gone flying out of my head there, centres. And that's people who will go to the Garda station, fill out a document saying, I am perfectly happy for this person to run as a candidate. I think it's 50 because I got challenged the amount of people who had to get to sign it. And they said it had to show a minimum buy-in to the political system because basically anyone can do it.
Yeah.
There's very few people who can't actually run for office in Ireland. It's a small enough list, but it's quite easy to get that number of people and say, right, I'm going to put myself onto the ballot paper there. And people would have seen that with the local elections, the length of the ballot papers. And hopefully we will never have a situation like Wicklow where they decided to have a ballot paper with two different columns, which ended up with multiple ballot papers with two different number ones.
It was like bingo, wasn't it, really?
Yes,
yeah,
it got out of control.
Yeah.
And there's a science behind designing ballot papers as well.
OK, well, maybe we'll leave that for another time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. But Jennifer, as you like head into this election now, the economy is booming for this government, interest rates coming down. The cost of living crisis, though, is still a huge one for people. And we've heard it again and again that that's something that people still feel. What are the other issues that you think are going to be big? And and I know housing has to be one.
Absolutely, yeah.
What are the other issues you think are going to be?
I certainly think healthcare, because the amount of people I know in Dublin who just don't even have a GP. So it's the old perennials that are never exactly getting fixed.
And what about immigration, though? Do you think that that's got away? Do you think that's going to come back?
No, I think it is always going to be a concern for a certain demographic of the population, especially when they see, you know, compression in the services that they would be used to getting.
Hmm.
And instead of drilling down into the background of, well, why isn't there enough places in schools? Why is there not enough social housing? It's always those simple answers to the complex problems. And that can be an issue that the more right-wing parties can start drilling into to get support for their standpoints.
Mm. One of the things before I let you go, I want to talk about again is that women's issue again. Female representation, as we know, is just so important. You know, this, if I can see it, I can be it, all this stuff. And, mm-hmm. and the reason why I asked you about tokenism within the bigger political parties is, like, what's the evolution of that? Like, how do you make that better? And is there an incentive for politicians to actually do more? Like, what is the percentage of female vote in the country? Like, and do actually women vote for women? Because if you've got 50% mm-hmm. of the candidates who are women, why am I talking just voting for 40%? If you've got 40%, surely, you know, with the half and half of the population, they should, by dint, get more support. Are women not voting for women?
It is a very good question. I'm sure the political scientists who particularly look at gender would have the answers at the tip of their tongues for that. But it is important that all views are there when you are debating things. Like, for example, when it came to COVID, the closing of all the shops, and then parents, particularly women, going, but what about my children's shoes? They have to get their feet measured. So it is important that the voice is there. However, we have to bear in mind that women just don't know stuff about women's issues, that women are quite capable of being ministers for justice, ministers for defence, all those different issues, and not to pigeonhole women into particular areas just because they happen to be women as well.
Well, look, Jennifer, we have an interesting couple of weeks ahead of us, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again throughout the campaign. But thank you for joining me. That was Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, lecturer in constitutional law at the South East Technological University.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.